1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Starting the segment off in Apache Junction. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi. So we just bought a new property out here, and it's quite large, so we have plenty of room to put in some trees. And I'm wanting to put in a blood orange tree and a ruby red grapefruit. And I'm wondering if they'll pollinate off of each other or if I need to put in two of each.
No, you could plant one of each or even just one citrus tree, and you should be able to get fruit off of that. All the modern citrus varieties are self-pollinating, self-fruitful, meaning you only need one of them to get fruit, and additional fruit trees in the yard. Obviously, you get more fruit but from two trees rather than one tree, but they won't increase the amount of fruit off of one tree. That's true with most varieties of citrus.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And there's no limit either to how many she could put up either. She said she's got a lot of room.
Yeah.
There is a calendar that I've seen. I believe it's stapled at, I mean, sure, it's both your locations, but I'm checking out at Harper's. I've seen the citrus year calendar. Kind of a guideline to get citrus year round if you wanted to plant
by ripening date. Yeah. Yeah. You can come close. You know, you're not going to get much in the July or August time frame, but yeah, you know, limes start ripening in September, and then you know, you work your way into some of the early tangerines, and then you know, navel oranges, and you know, late oranges like Valencias, and then you know, to me, grapefruits aren't even really good till about March. So March, April, May, and even into June, you can harvest grapefruits. So
on a brand new property where she's just starting off, what would you recommend for irrigation? Drip lines, bubblers. There's you could go into a sprinkler world or Horizon or Ewing and have a huge variety.
Oh yeah, there's
for sprinkling techniques.
Several ways to set it up. I would say if you're going to go with irrigation, make sure that you have several lines set up. Some of these plants are definitely going to have different watering needs than the next. So I see a lot of people making the mistake of having a single drip line hitting their trees as well as their shrubs, their bushes, to other types of edible gardens. And one's going to get either overwatered, one's going to get underwatered. If you're getting to start out from the beginning, make sure to put in plenty of lines and a control box that you can set proper amounts of watering per type of tree and plant.
Once the trench is open, it's pretty cheap to throw in some extra tubing.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the mistake. Some people think, well, I've got one line, that's it. Have them throw in a few lines. Get 4-6 lines. That way everything's going to get the correct amount of water.
Well, more than likely, if you're buying a controller, and that's probably the most expensive piece of equipment on the system, it's going to allow you to have different zones anyway. Mm-hmm. So you've already got the capability. You're going to have to buy a couple extra valves, which are not terribly expensive. And like I said, the tubing is pretty cheap. The hard part of that's trenching anyway. So, yeah, you really need a separate valve. If you've got grass or turf, you need a zone for that. You need a zone for, you know, small plantings, shrubs, that sort of thing. And then you should have something for your trees and separate them out that way. So that works really well. And it's pretty easy to do. And it's actually not that hard to retrofit if you have an existing system to do that as well. It's not that bad of a task, especially if a lot of people out there, including myself, that have really old controllers that are about to go any minute and you have to go buy a new one, that would be a great time then to retrofit your system into multiple zones.
Now, planning, having a plan of what you're going to do can make a big difference. But as we were talking earlier, there's so many options in a nursery. Your plan from when you start to when you finish could completely change as you learn more, you found a new variety, or you saw something you liked at a neighbor's tree. So it's you can have a plan, but you've also got to be flexible because with planting, it doesn't have to be quite to the T. You don't have to get a building permit. You don't have to get inspected by the county. You don't have to have an official come out and give you a red or a pass or fail tag for it. So you can have a plan, but you need to be flexible with it, I think.
But it also it really justifies the fact that you should start with a plan, because if you have an overall landscape plan that is going to work, then if you make minor adjustments in that, you're not making huge changes. If you don't have any plan at all and you just start winging it, then you can have all kinds of different things going on that may or may not work. And the bottom line is, for years, you know, we've been having to what I call compromise watering. You know, you've got systems that don't, you know, you can add more emitters to certain things. You can add adjustable flow emitters if we've got a drip system. So you can give a tree, you know, in an hour or two's time, more water than you can give a small shrub. So you can make it work, but it's sure a whole lot easier if the system is set up from the get-go to make it work that way.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Troy and Mesa, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How can we help?
I was just curious if there are any fruit trees that will grow in a big enough container for the duration of its life.
Could you keep a citrus or a fruit in a container? One of the dwarf ones?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, there's a number of varieties like the Meyer lemon, a lot of the dwarf limes, dwarf oranges. All of those will live quite happily in a large enough container. By large enough, I mean something bare minimum more than 20 inches tall and wide, bigger the better, something around the 26, 28-inch range would be even better. We've got a variety of peach called Bonanza. Excellent for large containers if you want to do something other than citrus. Garden Delight Nectarine, I think, is another one that's a dwarf nectarine tree. Another excellent choice. Pomegranates will live in containers. You can even keep a larger fruit tree, something that's not naturally a dwarf tree, in a container, provided it's trimmed severely each winter in order to keep it from outgrowing the container.
I'm a big fan of the kumquats in
containers. Excellent
they
choice.
Really stay green year-round, and it always stays looking really good, and it's very ornamental when they get those little kumquats on them, and very simple to eat. Just pick them off and pop them and go.
1-888-767-4348. Rose in Tucson, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a question about Bird of Paradise.
Okay,
Which kind?
Okay.
Wait a minute, Rose. Which kind of Bird of Paradise?
It's a red Bird of Paradise.
The red bird, okay.
We have always had the leaves drop off in winter, and this winter they stayed green, both of them. And I'm wondering what to prune off.
Everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep. To the nub.
It's just been a warm winter. It didn't force them to go dormant. But you guys agree? I just treat it just like it went dormant. Cut it way down like you always have.
Keep the size controlled. Yeah. Help keep it full, looking good.
To within 6 inches of the ground if you want.
Okay. What was my question? Okay, just about right now then, or?
Absolutely. And then when you start to see some new growth on it, maybe give it a little bit of a good all-purpose plant fertilizer to fuel that new growth, and you'll have it back and beautiful by the end of summer.
Cutting something that's blooming or that's still green can be pretty hard. Cutting those dead branches are easy. Something like this where we didn't get enough frost, though. What other varieties of plants would you have to trim back like that may not have gone completely dormant?
Well, we're talking about fruit trees, definitely the deciduous fruit trees, apples, plums, peaches, pears, any of those, grape vines. If you have grape vines, these need to be pruned severely. Citrus, you don't ever really have to prune. It's more of a maintenance and controlling the size of the plant kind of thing.
I think the biggest thing is probably roses. People, it never gets cold enough here to force roses into complete dormancy. And in fact, a lot of times our roses are the prettiest in November and December and even early January. So that's the hard one sometimes. You know, I know there's blooms. I know they look good, but you got to prune them back or you'll have a mess.
A little bit of tough love.
Yeah.
Betty in Sun City, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Hi, this is Betty.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a grapefruit tree. It's a white grapefruit tree. It's a big, pretty big tree. It's dying from the top. And I don't know whether it was the way it was pruned last year, but I have a bunch of dead branches up there. The bark is kind of pulling away from the branches that are dying. Is this tree, is it a disease or is it age or was it trimmed improperly?
Could be any.
What do we do?
Could be any of the above. Let me ask you: is the bark peeling away from sort of the southwest side of the tree, and was that part of the tree exposed particularly during the last pruning?
Well, you know, I think when they prune it the last time, they prune too much of the top of it away, and that's where the branches are dying and the bark is peeling off of those branches.
That's very
the edge, the outside part of it where they didn't do any butchering is okay. So is this tree salvageable or...
Probably. It's just a matter of protecting the remaining growth. See, citrus trees are kind of unusual in that they have a very thin bark. It's very susceptible to, believe it or not, sunburn. That's why you see citrus trees' trunks painted white, or they've got a layer of protective paint on them. That's to protect the bark from sunburn. Improper pruning can expose too much of the bark to sunburn. In that case, it would be up to you to go in and paint the exposed bark to prevent additional damage from the sun. And the answer is yes, it should be salvageable. I've seen citrus in pretty bad shape that you are able to bring back with a little bit of TLC.
Now, you don't want to just put any paint on there.
No, you need to use the special citrus tree trunk paint. We do sell that. And people say, oh, but I don't like the way the white paint looks. It looks tacky. Well, they've got a tan-colored citrus tree trunk paint, and that will protect the tree just as well, and it gives a little bit more of a natural look to it.
And it's Go Natural. What is the gentleman's name that invented that?
Now you're catching me.
I apologize.
Chuck Robbins.
Jay and I had lunch with him at, I don't even know the name of it, but it's a seafood restaurant there at Bass Pro Shop.
Right.
And he grew up in a tent at Roosevelt Lake because his dad was one of the original maintenance workers on the dam at Roosevelt Lake. And he grew up here in Arizona his whole life. And
he's a citrus farmer.
And he designed that because his wife hated the white look. So it's a pretty neat story, a great local product. It's Go Natural.